Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, it's my mom.
Hey, mommy.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
That's how I know. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Monday, May 15th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on the Feast of St. Isidore. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and our studio producer, Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning. I hope you had a great Mother's Day weekend, got to see your moms and spent some quality time with the family. It definitely was a great Friday and weekend for us here at Relevant Radio. I want to, first of all, start off by saying thank you, thank you, thank you, Relevant Radio family. It was another amazing Give Hope Pledge Drive, just unbelievable, heroic support once again. Thank you for allowing us to continue to bring Christ to the world through the media. Again, we've seen this so many times. We made our goal of $3 million at the wire at 5:01 p.m., literally during the commercial break. I was actually listening live on Friday night at the end of the Drew Mariani Show. We did it with your amazing support, of course, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary and Our Lady of Fatima, whose feast we celebrated on Saturday, as promised. I brought a dozen white roses for Our Lady for reaching our goal in the 6 a.m. hour here on Morning Air and a record 7 a.m. hour as well. Here are the happy totals: $3,156,000 and 565 more from 14,000 plus donations. So we absolutely made that $3 million goal and then some. So the totals continue to come in from you, our Relevant Radio family. The average gift amount was $225. So I want to bring in our team, Glenn and Sarah. We're just so grateful. Just incredible support once again.
Absolutely great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, world's greatest listeners, keeping Relevant Radio on the air for another three more months. Thank you so much for your generous support. Coming down to the wire, my goodness, what drama. Just about unbelievable. But there it was. There it was.
It was unbelievable. I was actually at my son's baseball game listening on the radio with a little earpiece in my ear. And sure enough, right during the break, it happened. We crossed the finish. So you talk about the wire. It went down to the wire. But, you know, as I said all throughout last week, you know, we live by faith, not by sight. We knew that our Relevant Radio listeners were going to come through. And guys, here's the totals for us here on Morning Air. It was an incredible Friday. We had 669 gifts for 124,000 plus. A new Morning Air record, 317 gifts for a new record, $58,000 dollars. Just a fantastic show of support for all of you who get up early in the morning to listen to Morning Air. So I am extremely grateful, Sarah.
Oh, man. John, I'm just trying to imagine. I think we just all can close our eyes right now. We imagine you at the baseball game, one earbud in, you know, watching your son, and, you know, somebody just strikes out. But they strike out right at the time that we cross the $3 million. He's jumping up. Yeah! You know, why are you cheering? Your team just struck out. What's happening? Oh, I'm listening to something else. I can imagine the confusion in that very moment.
You know, it's funny. You're not that far off, Sarah. I literally did a fist pump in the air and looked at my wife, Cindy, because she knew that I was listening. And I said, hey, we just made it. Can you believe it? So, yeah, it was really exciting. But, again, my hat goes off to our Relevant Radio listeners. Just absolutely amazing. Just tremendous, tremendous support. And every single one of you is so important to our mission, whether it's a big or a small, a tiny donation. It doesn't matter. Your gifts are making a difference for time and for eternity. So again, just want to say thank you so much to our Morning Air family, our entire Relevant Radio family, and of course, much love and many hugs goes out to all of our listeners.
Man, 14,000 people, John and Glenn, do you believe 14,000 people donated, and sometimes more than once, some of these people. So yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's amazing.
And as I have said again so many times, it's not where you start, it's where you finished. You know, it looked a little challenging there earlier in the week, but we finished strong, and I think made quite a statement. What else is going on, Glenn? Any other big stories we should keep an eye on this morning?
Yeah, for basketball fans, the NBA down to the Final Four now. They figured it out over in the East, and it was Boston winning. Boston winning, securing their spot in the finals. Big win over Philadelphia in Game 7. Jason Tatum had 51 points. What a day there. A lot of 50-point explosions in the playoffs this year, which makes it kind of interesting. So Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat, number 8 seed, will take on Boston in the East. In the West, that series gets underway tomorrow night. The Lakers, also a lower seed, will be taking on the number 1 seed, Denver Nuggets.
Always an exciting time of the year as the road to the NBA Finals it continues. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on both of the series in the conference finals. Meanwhile, there's some interesting news this morning about the world's oldest dog, Glenn.
World's oldest dog. Now, you love your little barky pup there as much as anyone can. Can you picture him making it to 31 years?
No, that is a long, long time. That is a new record, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. There's a Portuguese dog named Bobby that just made it to 31 years. Can you believe it? They had a big party for this dog in a small town in Portugal, in a little village called Conqueros. There was food. There was partying to celebrate this dog's 31st birthday. And what I found really interesting is that the dog only eats human food. Now, I got to wonder if that's the secret to Bobby living 31 years. I know my beagle Blaze is crazy about human food. I mean, he'll eat anything. He'll eat oranges, bananas, you name it. Steak, chicken, he just loves human food.
You know, and veterinarians don't normally recommend that, but there you go.
Well, maybe it depends on what country that you're eating the food. Because obviously, you know, culturally, we have different tendencies and different things that are delicacies and favorites. So, I mean, maybe like cheeseburgers are probably not the best for dogs. But maybe in the, you know, the country he's from, maybe they're eating maybe in better quality foods. And so maybe it is a good thing. Depends on where you're coming from, maybe.
Well, all I can tell you is there's a lot of dogs out there who love human food. And after this report of this Guinness Book of World Record setting doggy, maybe they might be able to eat a yet even more human food. It could be a good sign. Thanks, as always. I want to remind our listeners that in case, for whatever reason, if you weren't around, you were out of town, you were on vacation, and you missed last week's pledge party, you can still make a tax-deductible donation by giving us a call. 877-291-0123 is the number, and of course you can do it also online at relevantradio.com or by making a pledge through the Relevant Radio app. We start every morning always in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, including a thanks for a great pledge drive as we continue to pray for an end to abortion in our nation through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit with great gratitude every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You can find us on social media, on Twitter and Facebook, at Morning Air Show. And if you want to reach us directly with an email, if you have any thoughts or story ideas, it's morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, as you know, here on the show, we try to look at everything under the sun that goes on in our world, always keeping an eye on a spiritual and a Catholic perspective. In fact, this morning we're going to talk about something that we usually don't talk about, and that is buying a car. Have you been considering buying a new car? we just recently brought a new SUV, and we had many questions about the best way to go. Should we buy a used car, or should we lease, or what about electric cars? A lot of questions. If you find yourself in a similar situation as we were and are looking to buy a new car, don't change that dial. Our first guest this morning actually sold us our SUV and has some really practical tips on how to buy a car. A number, if you want to be part of the conversation here early this morning, it's 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Joining us live from Glenview, Illinois, in suburban Chicago, is Eric Inesco, the new car sales manager at Jennings Volkswagen, for much more on how to buy a car. Eric has lots of experience, nearly 20 years of experience in car sales. He's been a new car salesperson and a pre-driven vehicle manager as well. Good morning, my friend Eric. Welcome to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us. It is good to be with you here on this Monday morning.
Good morning, John. Great to be with you and your team.
Well, you know, it's funny because you and I had chatted, in the past about how, you know, I would love to tap into some of your experience. You know, you've been in the car business for such a long time, and you've been so helpful all these many years every time we've bought a car or leased a car. So I wanted to get your take on some of the main things that you have to consider before you even start thinking about shopping for a car.
Thank you. I thought it was so interesting that you brought this up to me. You know, I always look at it from my perspective, sitting on one side of the desk, and then you're the customer coming in. And of course, you have so many questions about what is the best way to buy a car? Are there even cars available to buy? And we all know that whatever retail outlet you go to, whether it's the store or you're trying to buy electronics or you're trying to buy a car, you know, is there inventory? What's out there? You can't help but drive by a dealership these days and see a lot of empty spaces in the parking lots. I will tell you the good news is that inventories are starting to come back. You're going to start seeing cars out there. So I think it's a good idea to kind of start thinking about what you want to drive. Narrow down your selections. Make a list. Make a list of 3, 4, 5, 6 cars, whether you want new or used.
Absolutely a good idea, because you want to have a game plan going in. You know, you don't want to just shop on a whim and make an emotional decision. What about what has changed? What do you see that has changed just in the last few years since the pandemic? You know, for example, during the pandemic, a lot of people were buying cars via the internet. What do you see as the biggest changes here in the last couple of years, Eric?
Well, internet shopping is still here. It's here to stay, and it's going to continue being a huge part of our world. Digital retailing, shopping online. I am a very firm believer that you need to go to the dealership. You do need to still go to dealership with your selections. You need to test drive. You have to build a relationship with someone at the store that is, product knowledgeable. Whether it's going to the dealership and introducing yourself to the manager, having you work with someone that is knowledgeable about the vehicles. I think it's still a very important part of actually going to the dealership. I think sometimes we tend to want to kind of do so much from the internet and maybe even make a phone call, but I think you get a lot more done, including you can't test drive a car over the phone, of course, but I think it's so important to get inside the dealership. I know sometimes that can be a scary experience for some people, but I definitely think that's an important part of the process.
And obviously, trust is very important. You got to find a dealership that you trust, that you're comfortable with, that has a good reputation, and as well as that salesperson. And this goes for whatever brand of car you're looking for.
Definitely. I am one of those people that love reviews. I can't help myself. I'll read the review about the restaurant. I'll read the review about the movie. I think reviews can go a long way. Obviously, you have to kind of, you know, really look at them and maybe don't let it become completely your deciding factor. But I think a good place to start are with online reviews and good referrals. If you have a neighbor, a friend that just bought a car, ask them, where did you go? Where did you buy the car? Did you have a good experience? Who did you work with? You know, and sometimes that does really go a long way.
For sure. Eric, what about incentives or deals that car dealerships are offering these days? Are we seeing a lot of good deals, in your opinion?
We are starting to see deals again. We didn't have really good deals. If we go back and look at, you know, say, you know, a year ago, where the prices were actually really quite high and the manufacturers weren't giving us those deals that we were so used to seeing, the low APRs, the cash incentives. I think those things are starting to come back, primarily because the inventories of new cars specifically are getting better. Used cars, still a little bit tricky. It's not what we're used to seeing from the past, but definitely, you know, a car buyer right now can't expect to see some deals out there. And I think you have to ask, you have to research it. Obviously, a lot of dealership websites will promote that, usually right on their homepage, and that gives you a sense of what is available.
Now, the prices of cars have gone up in recent years, especially since the pandemic. What are the pluses behind looking at a new car versus looking at a pre-driven car or, you know, a used car? I know that you guys refer to them as pre-driven.
Sure. So pre-driven, I think that the language you're going to see out there is certified pre-owned. And a certified pre-owned car is essentially a brand that the manufacturer can certify a used car and give it some extended warranty, maybe some special financing options. It's a really good way to buy a used car if you can find a certified pre-owned, but you can only find a certified pre-owned at a manufacturer dealer's location. A new car, obviously, we all love new cars. Who doesn't love something that's new? A new warranty, new tires, new brakes. But, you know, generally speaking, a new car will cost more money. I mean, it just will be something that really you'll need to look, you know, according to your budget. Does the new car make sense according to a budget that you've set for yourself? That's why used cars can be so popular, because they can become a much more affordable purchase.
Now, I've been leasing cars for many years, going back to about 2005, and just recently, bought a car last fall, the car that I had been leasing. What are some of the benefits of leasing as opposed to, financing and actually buying a car?
John, you sound like I do. My family's been leasing as well. We've kind of done a little of everything, but I think we've gotten to like leasing mostly because it's a little bit shorter term relationship with your car. So a lease is typically a purchase that is in the range of 36 to 48 months. And during the term of a lease, you're driving a brand new car that's generally covered under the manufacturer's warranty. So at the end of that lease, there's a chance that manufacturer's warranty may have ended. And so a lease is a nice way to get into a brand new vehicle, generally a lower payment, generally a lower out-of-pocket commitment. But the nice thing about a lease is that you do have an option to buy the car at the end of the lease for what's called the residual value. And it's become very popular with a lot of families, a lot of owners. So it does, I think, give you a little more flexibility compared to, say, a long-term purchase, like a finance scenario where maybe you're financing the car for 60 months or longer.
What about some of the key features that people are looking for these days? And, gas mileage, obviously, is something that people are always conscious of.
That is a very good question. So fuel economy has been always important. I think it still will continue to be important, as we all know how expensive gas prices are. There are a lot of SUVs on the road, but there are SUVs out there that do get pretty good gas mileage. I will tell you, it is getting harder and harder to find a sedan. If you like just a regular car, not an SUV, not a truck, but just a sedan, a four-door passenger car, it seems to be a little bit tough to find these days. A lot of manufacturers are shifting production to trucks or SUV. Features that seem to be really popular, I think you'll hear a lot, and when you do your research, is safety assistance features, features that help prevent or assist in preventing accidents. So those are things like the blind spot monitoring features, rear traffic alert, autonomous braking features. So there's a lot of sensors in cars today, in vehicles today, that help prevent, hopefully prevent accidents from happening in the first place.
Absolutely. And even to prevent getting, you know, bumps or scratches, you know, the cameras these days are amazing. I mean, I know the camera on our new SUV that you sold us, it looks like a high def camera. You can see perfectly as you look backwards.
Absolutely. Technology continues to improve, just like our phones. The cameras are so precise, so clear, and they do really help avoid those little annoying accidents that can happen when you're pulling out of the bank's ATM drive-through.
For sure. You know, our government, obviously, we've seen here in the last few years a push for electric vehicles. Do you think that EVs is the way of the future, or do you still see a place for the traditional, gas cars?
Well, it sure does seem that way. So EV is electric vehicle. You'll see them on the roads. Sometimes they're so obvious they look like EVs because they look futuristic. They don't have the typical grill of a car because they don't need to have the same airflow that comes in through the front. So they are really great and fun to drive. Obviously, we're starting to see more and more of them on the roads, EV, and then also there's what's called hybrid technology, which is a combination of electric motor and gasoline motor. Those are really popular. So I think they're definitely here to stay. There's no question about that. And the manufacturers are really pushing to get more and more choices out there for consumers with better and better range. By what I mean by range is how far you can go on an electric drive, on the electric charge.
There's so much more that we could talk about, Eric. Just one more thought. I know that Volkswagen, and not only Volkswagen, but some other brands as well, are in the process of eliminating AM radios from cars. And, you know, AM radios have been such a part of the automobile industry since the very beginning, basically. What is your thoughts on that? And do you have any insights as to what the industry is thinking?
Yes, that is a very good question, because I think it, for some of us, it came to a surprise, like, why in the world would we get rid of AM radio? So my understanding, and this is just a very loose understanding, and I probably need to do a little more research on it, but I understand that the AM frequencies have some disruptions in the technology of the cars, specifically electric cars. Electric cars and AM radios, for some reason, they don't go well together. And the plus side, I guess, is that, you know, not only that, they've removed CD players from cars. I don't know if you've noticed that at all, but it's really hard to find a car with a CD player anymore. But the technology of the radio systems, because you can use your phone as the source of data in the car, you can actually stream anything that's on your phone can go through your car. So that is, I guess, kind of the plus side of the technology. We are seeing less and less AM radio, but we can use our phones now as a source of data. So whatever you like to listen to through your phone, through an app or whatnot, you can stream it through your radio.
And of course, this is an issue that hits home for us here at Relevant Radio, where we have a lot of folks that listen on AM radios across the country, but they also listen on the Relevant Radio app. So that's good to know. And obviously, anybody that's ever had interference as they're driving by, wires or whatever, or viaducts, you put on the app, it comes in crystal clear. So, Eric, much, much more that we could chat about, but we're just about out of time. I really appreciate you joining us to give us some practical tips on things to consider before you buy a car. Thanks again.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right. Many blessings to you. Eric Nesko, the new car sales manager at Jennings Volkswagen in Glenview, Illinois, in suburban Chicago. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Catholic author and speaker Emily Jaminet will be with us to talk about her new book, Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart. So stay with us as this Monday edition of Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
So good to me.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Monday morning here in the sixth week of Easter on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. A shout out to all the moms out there. I hope you had a really blessed and a special Mother's Day. I also want to say thank you once again for an amazing Give Hope of Spring pledge drive. In case you missed us talking about it at the top of the show, we did make our goal of $3 million on Friday evening, literally at the buzzer in the final minute of the pledge drive during the very end of the Drew Mariani show. Actually, during the commercial break, we found out that we crossed over the $3 million mark. Here are the final numbers, $356,565 from 14,005 donations, and that is growing as we speak. From you, our Relevant Radio family, and every single bit helped so much. The average gift amount was $225. So again, we did it with your amazing support and, of course, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary. In case, for whatever reason, you missed last week's pledge drive, you can still make a tax-deductible donation by giving us a call at 877-291-0123 or online at relevantradio.com or, of course, through the Relevant Radio app. Again, thank you so much. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from John 14:6. Jesus the Lord says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no salvation in anyone else, or is there any other name in the whole world given to men by which we are to be saved? And so this is what our pledge drive was all about. It's all about Jesus. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chapel of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation here this morning, it's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Now, if you've had someone in your life or that you haven't been able to forgive or you haven't talked to for many years because of shame, then please listen up. Joining us live this morning is regular contributor Emily Jaminet to share 10 ways to build stronger and more loving relationships based on habits and virtues that come from the Sacred Heart. Emily Jaminet is a Catholic author, a speaker, radio personality, a wife, podcaster, and the mother of 7 children. She's also the executive director of WelcomeHisHeart.com. Emily is the author of several books, including her newest book that just came out, Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart. Good morning, Emily. We can continue to say Happy Easter. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again.
Well, good morning. Good morning. And good morning to all those moms who are drinking maybe their first cup of coffee the day after Mother's Day, or those children that did their best to honor their mothers. And this is always such a fun Monday morning.
Absolutely. It was a great weekend. It was such a joy to be able to spend time with my mom and so many of our listeners that were able to spend time with their mothers as well. Before we talk about your new book, Emily, I wanted you to share with us why it's so important to have a devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, as revealed to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque.
Well, this devotion is the devotion because it recenters us back onto the person of Jesus Christ, who is fully present in the Holy Eucharist, who is always offering us this transformative love, who's inviting us into the family of God, really as the mediator between us and God the Father. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you're looking in those early steps, I can't recommend this devotion enough. And if you are like me, you've experienced this devotion for many generations, you will see that this is truly the greatest gift we can not only live, but pass on to our children, as Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary this December 350 years ago with this powerful message of telling us how much he loves us, that he wants us to behold his heart. He wants us to offer up our sacrifices to his heart and to live closely united with him and his love.
Well, I know that as the executive director of the Sacred Heart Enthronement Network, you have spoken about for such a long time and shared everything you can about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. What was your inspiration to write yet another book, The Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart?
Well, my first book, I really focused on the 12 promises, which is really beautiful, discovering the secrets of the Sacred Heart and the importance of these promises revealed to St. Margaret Mary. But what I realized is when we grow closer to Jesus, our life actually has to change. And that change begins within our own heart. And so my motivation was to really reveal what Jesus revealed to St. Margaret Mary, where he said that his heart was full of mercy, which of course we know through divine mercy, charity, where he revealed his heart that he loves us so much. He also talks about the grace that pours forth his heart. He wants to strengthen our faith and help us to be a better witness. But he also talks about that all virtue comes from the heart of Christ. And so to me, that was very touching as a busy Catholic mom with seven children. As I'm trying to live out an authentic witness, I realized I also need to enter into the school of the Sacred Heart to understand these virtues and allow the Lord to change my heart.
Well, Emily, our Lord Jesus revealed his Sacred Heart to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque now, you know, for 350-plus years, and yet more recently he also revealed his infinite ocean of mercy through the Divine Mercy devotion to St. Faustina. There's definitely a connection between these two devotions.
Absolutely. You know, St. Faustina has a beautiful devotion to the Sacred Heart. And I think that I love that you highlighted the ocean of mercy. It's very similar to much of the language of even Jesus revealing to St. Margaret Mary. He said, sinners will find in my heart the source of an infinite ocean of mercy. Same type of language that he revealed to St. Faustina. So it points to the fact that Jesus, our faith is tried and true. I love to tell that to my children, that it is provides that stability. It provides us the guidance and direction. And as we want to receive his mercy, the greatest gift, we also are called to enter into this deep love relationship, this friendship, this honoring him as the King and the Lord of our life, so that we can even be a better witness in our Catholic faith and allow this to not only transform our own heart, our home, but I believe all of society as well.
Do you think that your new book will give some encouragement to build a stronger, more loving relationships with others by first having that relationship with Jesus?
Yes, because Jesus invites us to experience his love. And oftentimes when we look at our relationships in each chapter of this particular book of the Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart, I highlight a heart, an individual who needed God's grace in a new way. If it was through forgiveness, if it was a person struggling with shame, if it was a person struggling even with addiction, how the devotion strengthened them so that they had a new perspective on their own heart. One of my favorite priests here in Columbus, Ohio, Father Stosh Daly, one of our co-founders of our apostolate to the Sacred Heart, says that, you know, Jesus loves to rearrange, spiritually rearrange the furniture of our hearts and our homes. And a lot of times it's resetting the right priorities. So for me and what I've seen in this book and how it's set up as a devotional with reflection questions, lots of saint quotes, lots of insight, you leave a better person when you're done reading this book. You say, oh, there's some areas that I can work on in my very own heart so that these relationships thus can be transformed.
Emily, can you give us a little snippet of your book, Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart, this brand new book, and share with us a few of those habits and virtues that come from the Sacred Heart?
Sure. Each chapter is set up with a story from a heart, a few words of an individual who needed the love of Christ in a new way, and you get a glimpse, and that story is so relevant and so relatable to our own hearts. In that story, then we break it down and we look directly at many of the quotes from St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, even some church fathers, some popes, some beautiful saints, and directing us closer to the Lord. And then also some opportunity for us to do some inner reflection through some devotional questions. The other thing that I thought was very important is that we begin with welcoming the light of Christ into our own heart, first with docility, being open. A lot of times change doesn't happen because our hearts are closed. We're burdened with the past. We are overwhelmed with our own hardness of heart. And so we have to have some entry points for the Lord. And I believe Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart is that opportunity for you to not only encounter the love of Christ, but to do that inner glance so that you grow closer to the Lord.
We need to take a short break. On the other side, I want to talk a little bit about you know, some of those virtues like humility and, you know, prudence and just being able to forgive that we can grow in from having a devotion to the Sacred Heart. If you want to be part of our conversation on habits and virtues that come from the Sacred Heart of Jesus with Catholic author Emily Geminit, we are taking your calls this morning. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our discussion with Emily. Stay with us. Much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverett.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
888-914-9149.
This is Morning Air,
your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
I hope you're awake. Welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales as we continue our conversation with Catholic author and speaker and mom, Emily Geminit. We're talking about her new book, Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart and 10 Ways to Build Stronger, More Loving Relationships. Emily, before the break, we were talking about just a few of the habits and virtues that you share with us in your new book. I wanted to just kind of continue touching on a few more of those virtues that we can learn from the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Well, thanks again for this opportunity, John, to talk about, you know, how we can improve our relationships through the Sacred Heart, allowing His love, that's the principle of this, to touch our hearts so that we have a greater ability to have hearts like flesh, like we read in Ezekiel, and that we let go of those stones and what I like to tell people, even pebbles that have really held us back from loving like Christ loved. We know that devotion to the Sacred Heart has renewed societies. We can look back to the impact this devotion had in Jansenism, in that time period of Jansenism when Jesus first appeared to St. Margaret Mary 350 years ago. And in this book, Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart, I break it down into some of the different virtues and really taking on the attributes of the heart and even the kingdom of God. So as I mentioned in the last segment, docility, you know, when we allow pride and stubbornness sometimes to blind us, it is easy to be misled and, you know, of our own self and to ignore truth. So we have to first just say, Lord, you know, show me your way, open my heart to you so that he can begin to work. I think that's one of the great places if you're wondering where to start. It's allowing the Lord to touch your heart, to speak to your heart. But that doesn't just happen through thought. It begins through cultivating a prayer life. And everything in this book leads you closer to wanting that devotion, wanting to expose and honor the heart, which we've talked about, the enthronement of the Sacred Heart, creating a mini shrine in your own home, and then sharing it, being promoters, as this key role that we have in evangelization begins with encountering other people's hearts so that these other hearts experience the joy of our heart, the peace of our heart, the excitement to be alive, the gift, the inheritance that we know we've received, this beautiful gift of God's love that then we go forth and share. So that's an overview, but a really important piece for us as Catholics in our witness. It's not just catechesis. It's also how we live our life, how we interact with our very own family as well.
Again, if you want to be part of the conversation, if you have a special devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we'd love to hear from you and taking your calls. For Catholic author Emily Geminit at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I know that our very own studio producer, Sarah Tafoya, here with us this morning, she's begun to read your new book, Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart, Sarah.
Oh, yeah. No, it's so funny, Emily. When I got this book, I was thinking, yeah, of course, 10 ways to build stronger and loving relationships. I mean, who doesn't want that? Let's break right into here. And I flip it open and it goes right to the page of, I think it's chapter 6, where it says, let go of control, grow in humility. And I was like, woo, whack, right to the head. How did you know that was exactly where I needed to start? Because I think, and then as I'm flipping through, I'm noticing the different chapters and the different things that to try to work on these different habits of, you know, having prudence and forgiveness and gratitude and all of that. It's kind of like, you know, in different stages of our life, some of that, okay, I don't really think I need to work on that. But then there's that one right now that someone out there needs to be working on. We need to be working on that habit. This is way more than, you know, one of those self-help books, because like you said, this is, okay, clearing out stuff in our soul, in our mind that we're cluttering up so we can be further away from Jesus that we don't even realize we're doing. It's just like, you know, you start collecting clothes year after year and then realize, wow, there's absolutely no room in this closet and I'm not wearing half this stuff. And so then you realize, okay, it's hard work, but you got to clear this stuff out. And with the control right away, I was like, yeah, I feel like, oh yeah, Jesus, I trust in you. But as I was reading through the chapter, I was like, I guess I don't trust him as much as I think that I do. And I really need to work on this. And that is a good holy habit that I need to be working on. So it's, thank you for writing the book and really just kind of breaking it down like this. Because again, these are things that I think we think, okay, we know the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We got it. We understand it. We're Catholic. But we don't. We don't understand it as well as we think we do. And no matter where you are in life, there's something in this book that is going to, you need to work through, and you don't realize that you need to work through it.
Well, thank you, Sarah, for that testimony, because it's really, I wrote the book from my own heart's intention to, first of all, work on my own heart and realize the significance of my witness dependent on what my inner heart looked like, you know, how I loved my family, how they were able to receive my love, and making sure a lot of times control, you know, it's definitely really appropriate when kids are little and you need to make sure that they don't run into the road or they don't, you know, do those little things that they can get hurt. But yet at the same time, ultimately God the Father is a loving God, and he gave us his son as our refuge. And what that looks like to turn our prayers not just into, you know, Lord, please keep our children safe, but to continue to grow deeper and deeper so that we can say, you know, Jesus, I trust in you. So all of these chapters really enhance our prayer life, our understanding of the Eucharistic prayers at church, to, you know, even just that daily, Jesus, I need to trust in you. I realize that I'm coming from a really deep, dark place of control. And a lot of times, you know, I love to call them the counterfeits of love. in this culture is definitely full of a lot of counterfeits of love, and how we're presenting it to the next generation is really an important point for us to ponder and say, how can we bolster our witness of our faith, beginning with our own heart?
Well, I was thinking too, I mean, when you even think of, you know, you say you need to cultivate a love relationship with Jesus. I never even put that together, that my love relationship with Jesus, not just me talking to him and praying to him and telling him all the things that I'm struggling with or I wish he would fix in my life, but creating that love relationship with him changes and transforms the love relationship I have, not only with my kids or my husband or my parents, but coworkers and people, random people on the street. All of that stems from my relationship with Jesus. And I guess I should know that, but sometimes it needs to click at the right time. And sometimes it needs to click more than once. But I just love that connection, that we need to have a love relationship with him, and then we can have a better relationship, like you say, with everyone else.
Absolutely. And as Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque 350 years ago, you know, he said, you know, behold this heart that loves so much, but in return it receives ingratitude, coldness, and indifference. And so what that, you know, really tells us is that, you know, how do we respond to Christ? Yeah, the world might be falling apart. You know, there might be some real scandal out there, but let's take an inner glance. You know, what's going on in my own heart? And how can I better love, honor, serve, and even offer up acts of reparation to the Lord? You know, maybe it's this communion. Maybe it's a difficult job that I'm really struggling with. Maybe it's up all night with a crying baby. All of that has value. And what makes me so excited about this devotion is I've seen it lived out for generations. As my mom said, you know, this is fourth generation that we know of a family that's been trying to implement this beautiful, transformative devotion. And we know full societies have embraced this because we've seen the image in every home, especially in Ireland and India, many of the Indian Catholic families, and even here in the United States. So it's an invitation to rediscover this devotion, to have an image in your own home. I can't say it enough, you know, put that image up in your home, make him your refuge, turn to his heart, come to know his attributes, and be transformed. And at welcomehisheart.com, we have so many opportunities for you to encounter the love of Christ, if it's through enthronement, if it's through our sacredheartrevival.com, or even just a webcast we have in June. But we want to teach you so that you can be transformed.
Well, Emily, we have the image of the Sacred Heart here in studio every morning, along the Divine Mercy image. It's prominent in our own home. Can you tell us where folks can get more information about your book, where they can order it, and also who are you hoping that gets their hands on it?
Well, I'm really hoping every Catholic gets their hand on it, because I wrote it with the intention of reintroducing this devotion and helping people to encounter the love of Christ. You can find my book at any Catholic bookstore, of course, Amazon, but support those Catholic outlets, including Ave Maria Press is my publisher.
Well, I really, really, first of all, I congratulate you on your new book, and thanks so much for sharing a bit about it here this morning. Your new book is called Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart. Thanks so much, Emily.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to be here today.
Many blessings to you. Emily Jaminet, the Executive Director of WelcomeHisHeart.com. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Emmanuel's Butterfly by Matthew M. Gesser. There once was a little boy caterpillar who enjoyed playing sports, especially soccer. He had a little sister caterpillar who loved to paint pictures, and the two caterpillars' favorite thing to do was to play together in the tall grass where they lived. They were very excited when they learned a new little caterpillar was going to be part of their lives. They couldn't wait to welcome him into their family. The boy caterpillar thought about how he was going to teach him how to play soccer, and the girl caterpillar couldn't wait till they were able to paint beautiful pictures together. This new caterpillar was hidden in a cocoon, but that didn't stop the boy and girl caterpillars from talking to him every day. They waited anxiously and told him about all the fun they were going to have together. Then one day they discovered the cocoon was empty, and the new caterpillar was gone. They couldn't see him and were very sad. When they were crying, however, they heard a voice coming from up above, and looked up to see a beautiful butterfly soaring overhead. The butterfly told them that he was their new caterpillar brother who they'd been talking to, but now he had wings, so he belonged in the sky and couldn't stay in the tall grass with them. The two caterpillars were happy for him, but sad they could no longer be together as they had been so looking forward to. The butterfly assured them that they'd be able to play together someday, but for now the two needed to be there for each other. He'd always be flying in the sky above, watching over them, even if they couldn't see him. And best of all, they could still talk to him anytime they wanted. Exodus 23:20. See, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Really appreciate it. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, will be with us to talk about the fruits of the Holy Spirit and getting to know better the Holy Spirit in our lives. Plus, Steve Picorni, the founder of Freedom Coaching, will join us to discuss his story of being saved from a porn addiction. So stay with us. We are just warming up. There's much more to come in the final hour of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.